That's all right. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, if that didn't crank your tractor's broke. Amen. Amen. I remember the day I was that beggar. Amen. Why in the world would God want me? But the king looked at the beggar. And now we're walking hand in hand. Amen. Praise the Lord for that king. I'm telling you this morning, if you'd realize what you are, if you're saved this morning, you're a child of the king. Amen. And I praise his name this morning. Appreciate that good song. Appreciate the Lord this morning, the good spirit. Take your Bibles over to the 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 6. And again, I know we got a lot to get into this morning. And we're excited about what the Lord's going to do and what he's already done. And looking forward to the baptism. And I'll probably say it up there. I'll say it now. What you're going to see here in a little while in this baptism, as I've spoke to each one of them that's getting baptized, baptism don't save you. Baptism is just a picture of what the Lord's done for you. It's a picture of that death, that burial, and that resurrection. And I praise the Lord for each and every one of you this morning. What God, if you're saved, what he's done for you. He died for you. We looked Wednesday night there in John about the Lord, and again, how he said that corn must fall in the ground and die. And when it comes back up, it brings forth much fruit. And I'm thankful this morning what God has done through his death and how he gives life. And I'm glad this morning I'm alive. Amen. In the Lord Jesus Christ, I have life and liberty. And I hope you know him this morning. I sure do. And what we're going to look at this morning, and listen, I know baptism is a great thing this morning. But listen, if you're not saved this morning, you need to hear what God says. If you are saved this morning, you're not living for God. You need to hear what God says this morning. And there's something for all of us here this morning. And listen, this world's got people blinded. This world's got people dragged here and there. And I'm telling you this morning, hook into the Lord this morning. As I mentioned last week, get in this book every day. Spend time in prayer. Walk with the Lord every day. I know you got to be out in this world, but listen, that world don't need to be in you. You got something better than in the Lord, I promise you. So I want to encourage you. Let's just live for the Lord in these days. And it takes the word of God. And again, I mentioned this morning in our prayer time, we're living in a weird world. We really are. I don't know if it's ever been this way before. I've only seen 50 years of this world. But it's really changed over the last little bit. And it's crazy what people think and what people are saying these days. And I was telling this morning, I found out a couple of things this week. It just blew my mind. I won't mention the first one. But the second one, I thought, you know, we're just crazy. This world's gone crazy. In California, everybody know what a manhole is? Now, where I live, you don't have manholes. I live in country. But in the city, they got them holes in the street. They call them manholes. Well, California says you can't do that no more. What'd you say? Maintenance? It's a maintenance hole. It's not a manhole. You know, we got to be gender neutral and all this garbage. Listen, friend, this world is just stretching things. I'm telling you, it's just going stupid. And but this book is still true. And I promise you, if you'll stick with this book, you'll be all right. 2 Kings chapter 6, if you can, let's stand together out of honor and reverence to the Word of God. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in the pew. I want to encourage you to follow along with us this morning. 2 Kings chapter 6. Now, the very first section of chapter 6, man, what a story there. He's out chopping wood, and the axe fell off in the water, or the head of the axe falls off in the water, and the man of God says, where'd it fall off? And we know God raised that axe up. What a tremendous story there. But that's not what we're looking at, but it's real good stuff. Y'all go look at it later. But we're going to start begin reading in verse number 8 this morning here in 2 Kings chapter 6. The Bible says, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent up the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, But Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Now listen, that's not what I'm preaching this morning, but what a thought. We looked last Sunday night, we'll be back there this morning, or this evening in Proverbs chapter 21, where the Bible says the heart of the king is in the Lord's hands and he can turn it whichever way he will. Here we see God telling the man of God what that king was saying. He wasn't even there. This morning, God is on your side. God will take care of you. God can do miraculous things. Amen. And that's what we see here. The man of God, he wasn't there, but God told him what the king of Syria wanted to do. And the man of God went to the king of Israel and said, don't go there because there's going to be trouble. God can keep you out of trouble if you'll listen to him. So, amen. So, verse number 13, and he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. Sure thank you, Lord, once again for the privilege, God, just to call upon your name. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God today. Thank you for your spirit. God, I pray this morning, God, that you'd have liberty in this place. God, I pray that nothing this morning would be in a way of hindrance. I pray that each one of us this morning would open up our hearts to what saith this, the word of God. And Lord, if there would be somebody here today that's not truly saved, I pray today would be the day, God, they would call upon your name. Today, the day would be the day that they'd find life. And Lord, I know today that's your will. And God, we just ask you again, God, to have liberty in this place. And Lord, for those of that are saved, Lord, I pray, God, today would be a day that we just anchor back in. God, today would be a day, God, that we just settle this thing, God. And Lord, we're just going to live for you with all our hearts until you come, Lord. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do in this place. For it's in Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. Now let me just give you a picture of what's going on here. Here, the man of God, again, God's telling him what's going on. And he goes and tells the king of Israel. And listen this morning, you know, we got something to tell. Hello? Hey, God, if you're saved this morning, God has given you something to tell about him, what God has done for you, and how God saved you, and how God has taken care of you, and how God's going to give you a place in heaven one of these days. We've got something that God has told us that we need to turn around and tell others. And here we find God speaking and God showing it. And listen, let's not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Hey, let's stand on and say, well, the Bible says, listen, you ain't got to bow down to this world. You ain't got to turn your eyes away. You can stand up and be brave. You can stand up with your shoulders square and have assurance, not in yourself. Listen, I can't do nothing. Me and Brother David was talking earlier about being shy. Listen, I used to be real shy. If you told me when I was 12 years old I'd be up here doing this, I'd say, you're crazy. But God can fill your heart up and you'll just have a yearning and an urge just to tell somebody something. And listen, when somebody's going down the wrong road, somebody needs to step up and say, hey friend, that ain't right. That's not what God desires. You don't need to go that way. There's a better way. Go this way. And that's exactly what God's doing in these verses. But we see here that the king of Syria was like, well, somebody's telling, there's somebody in here spying. He didn't know God, did he? Listen, God knows everything this morning. He knows your heart right now. He knows what you're thinking. Some of you, he knows you're not thinking. This morning, do you realize the God of heaven, the one that spoke, the one that formed, the one that holds it all in his hands, is interested in you. He desires something for you. And God will do something for you if you'll let him. But here we find that the king of Syria is pretty upset because he can't get a hold. He can't entrap the nation of Israel. He says, let's go find this man of God. So he sends out a troop. He sends out a big army. The Bible says he sent forth a great multitude with horses and chariots. And he comes to that place there. Look at it. And when, verse 14, therefore sent he hither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. So here at night, the king of Syria has slipped in, and they've set up a camp around about the man of God and the nation of Israel. And here we find that the servant of the man of God, as you look there in verse number 15, says, when the servant of the man of God was risen early, there's something to be said there too. We sleep way too much. Hello? Well, preacher, I'm tired. Go to bed earlier. Quit watching that junk. Get up and have a day where you started out with God every day. Spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. So the servant of God rises up early. Now you picture in your mind. He's done this many times. I don't know what he was tempted to do that day. I'm sure he had daily duties that he did every day that he just naturally did. But on this day, he opens up the door and goes out and he opens up and there's the whole camp of the enemy. Can you picture in his mind what it must have meant to his heart? I'm sure it shocked him. I'm sure it scared him. I'm sure he's like, oh my goodness, look at that. We're in trouble. We're going to die. What's going to take place? Friend, this morning, I don't know if you've got there yet, but I don't care who you are. One of these days, life's going to slap you right in the face. Something's going to hit you like you've never been hit before. Something's going to come upon you and you don't think, Lord, help, how are we going to get out of this thing? It'll overwhelm you. It might be a financial matter, and there's a lot of that in these days. Listen, this morning, might be a health issue. Boy, that's happened a lot here lately. You go to the doctor. I don't feel good, doc. The doc runs you through the mill and he tells you bad news. It's going to knock you in the face. And you're going to think, Lord, help. What are we going to do? Even in the church house, and I'm afraid we've allowed the world to influence how we worship. I'm afraid we've let the world slap us and get us to the place where we're scared to be bold in the scriptures. We're scared to go to work and say, I'm a Christian and I love God and I'm not going to do what you do and I'm not going to talk the way you talk. We've let this world pressure us to the place where we feel like we're outnumbered. And that's exactly where this man here was. He looked out and he saw that great multitude of an army. It wasn't just out there with a slingshot. They wasn't out there with just a stick. They came prepared to fight. They brought their horses. They brought their chariots. They brought their men of war. They were coming to do something and take care of a problem. And that servant walked out that day there and he looked and he's like, oh God, what are we going to do? It's over. We ain't going to make it. And listen, this morning, I'm afraid that mentality has dropped into the lives of many of us today. Life has overwhelmed us. And listen, I know there's troubles. I know there's problems. There's always going to be problems. There's always going to be troubles. God tells us that. Friend, life is not easy. But I'm glad this morning, not in my own strength. I'm glad this morning through the Lord Jesus Christ. He strengthens me when I'm weak. Hey, He holds me when I cannot stand. He fights my battles. And friend, this morning, I just wonder, maybe this morning, if you're sort of like this servant. Now we're going to see this morning, and I first put in my notes this morning, we're going to see two people, but really we're going to see three. Let's look at this story a little bit further this morning. The Bible says again in verse number 15, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? This morning, I want to say, first of all, you might be like this servant. You might be here this morning and you don't know how this thing's going to work out. You might not know how things are going to take place. And this servant comes to the man of God. He says, how's it going to happen? What shall we do? So we see there again, he cries out, how shall we do? And then notice verse number 16, the man of God said there, Elisha, he said, and he answered, fear not. Now that sounds like pretty good advice, doesn't it? But look at it. And I know. You might not say it to my face. You might not say it to your Sunday school teacher's face. You might not say it to God by mouth. But many times I'll get up here and I'll preach stuff like this. Sunday school teachers get up and teach you the truth out of this book on this nature. And we tell you, fear not! And you're thinking, you're stupid, preacher. You don't know what I'm facing. You don't know where I'm going. You don't know what's taking place. You don't see the army that's against me. And you're sitting there feeling, what are we going to do? Can you imagine that servant that day? And he's broken, man. He's overwhelmed knowing what's outside the door. And he comes to the man of God, and look what he says. Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, I don't see that attitude a lot of times in my own life. I surely don't see it a lot of times in our church. The man of God knows there's an army out there. He knows that they've come with horses and chariots. He knows that they've come to kill and take and steal. And the man of God says, fear not. For they that's with us are greater than they. Greater is he that's in with us than he that's in the world, the Bible says. And again, picture this servant is going out. He's seen the army. He comes to the man of God, and the man of God says, fear not, we're bigger than them. Now you picture the servant. What do you mean? It's just us. Look at all of that. And you're saying there's more of us than there are of them? Let's read on. The Bible says, and Elisha prayed, that's always a good thing, and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord, can I tell you this morning, the Lord says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, amen, and show thee great and mighty things. Amen. Preacher, there's a trouble. Preacher, there's problems. Preacher, there's something that's overwhelming me. God says, fear not. There's more with you than you realize. There's more with you than there are of them. I'm bigger than your problem. Do you believe that this morning? It's what God's telling them. Look at it. The Bible says in verse 17, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now let's get back to the scene. Let's see what God's showing. Again, that servant goes out. All he can see is the troubles. All he can see is the heartaches. All he can see is the problems and the troubles and the trials. And he runs back in the house and he says, Elisha, we're in trouble. What's going to happen to us? And Elisha says, fear not. And Elisha prayed and asked God to open that young man's eyes. And the Bible says the Lord opened his eyes. And he was able to see. Not the trouble, not the heartaches, not the problems, but God opened his eyes that he could see what was around about him. The Bible says that he saw that great army of horses and chariots of fire. Can you imagine how his mind must have just was overwhelmed, like, wow, look at that. Oh my, man of God, you're right. Look at all of that. And friend, this morning, I'm afraid that many of us sitting here today, your eyes have been blinded. You've been overwhelmed with troubles. You can't see what God is really doing. You can't see that there's a God in heaven that's fighting for you. And this morning, if you allow God to open your eyes to the fact that God is greater, that God is in control, and that God has an army round about us fighting our battles, if you'll let Him. This morning, anybody got a problem? We all got problems. Anybody got troubles? We all got troubles. Anybody overwhelmed this morning? Probably most of us. Friend, this morning, let's ask God to open our eyes. Open our hearts to the fact that God is still in control, even in a messed up world like we're living in. God is still on the throne this morning, working for our good. But this morning, again, we see three people. Who do we see? Well, first of all, we see that servant. And buddy, he's overwhelmed. And then we see the man of God. He has encouragement. And then we see God, which is always faithful. But I want to look just for a second on that thought of those two, and then we'll move into really what I want us to see. First of all, that servant, that might be you this morning. Again, you might be here this morning and something's overwhelming you. Something has got you to the place where you don't know that you're on the winning side anymore. And friend, this morning, the only way to be on the winning side is to be saved. The arm of your flesh will fail you. We'll see that tonight in Proverbs chapter 21. Man thinks everything's all right. Friend, this morning, if you're not saved, it's not all right. Amen. But this morning, that servant is the first one. He's overwhelmed. He's discouraged. And friend, that might be you. But then I see this second man. Boy, we need some more of them. We see the man of God. Well, preacher, that's not me. Are you saved? Do you know God? Do you read your Bible? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? That can be you. First, we see the servant, again, overwhelmed. All he sees is the enemy. But then we see the man of God. He came with encouragement. You know, this morning, we need to get to the place that maybe we're not in the battle. Maybe we're not in the storm. Maybe things aren't overwhelming to us today. But somebody we're going to come across, somebody that we're going to meet, somebody that we're going to see, they need somebody to slip up beside of them and tell them, hey, God still loves you. God still cares for you. God still wants to meet your needs this morning. Friend, this morning, we need to be that encourager to others. Why? Because God's been faithful to us. I've been on the servant side time and time. I've seen God step in and do mighty things. God has opened my eyes many times to the fact that He's still got things in control. And again, we live in a messed up world. Today, everything that used to be right is wrong, and everything used to be wrong is right. That's the kind of world we're living in. But friend, this world does not dictate my God. This world does not change the fact that God has those angels around about us, that God is still fighting for the cause, that God is still on the winning side. Listen, we're not looking to see who wins. It's already done. Jesus Christ hung on that cross. He cried out, "It is finished." And friend, this morning, that's where I'm standing. Hey, friend, this morning, because He lives, I live. Because He's strong, I'm strong. Because He has met my needs, He'll continue to meet my needs. That's Him. But friend, this morning, let's get up out of the ditch. Let's get out of that place that servant was. And let's get out of that place where we're pondering. I don't know if we're going to make it or not. I don't know if we're going to win or not. I don't know what's going to take place next. Friend, let me tell you what's going to take place next. God's a coming. Hey, He's coming for you and me. And friend, that's where I'm looking at. Amen. But here again, we see these three people were, again, we find that servant. We find the man of God, and we find again God. He's just faithful. Let me show you one more thing and I'll be done. Look over Matthew chapter 16. Real quickly, Matthew chapter 16, look with me in verse number 17. Matthew chapter 17, or 16, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 16. Look with me in verse number 16. The Bible says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." again this morning. I preach this morning. I come with the message that God has laid on my heart this morning. Friend, let me tell you, just as Jesus stood that day in front of Peter, and Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Friend, this morning, that's such a truth today that you and I need to hook back into. If you're saved this morning, Jesus Christ is on the throne. Jesus Christ is in control. Jesus Christ is the victorious one. And here Jesus looks at Peter, and let's look at it real quickly and break it out just as quick as I can. The Bible says there again, Jesus looking at him says, that thou art Peter. Can you imagine that day Jesus looking at him? Peter looking at Jesus. Jesus looked at him and says, thou art Peter. Friend, this morning, I believe there's such a truth there this morning that I need to keep in my mind. Many times, my mom and grandma used to say it all the time, I get too big for my britches. I get to the place where I think I got it. I think I can control what's taking on. I feel like I'm a driving the car. I feel like I can hit the brakes and hit the gas and whatever I want to do, I can do. But friend, this morning, I need to get to the place where Peter was this day. Peter looked at the Lord and the Lord looked at him and the Lord looked at him and said, thou art Peter. What do you mean, preacher? You need to realize how frail you are. You need to realize you're just a bunch of dust in a dirt ball. Hey, you need to realize this morning your arms of flesh will fail you. You need to realize you're just a human this morning. You need to realize that you're not big enough to take care of all your needs. You're not smart enough to get out of everything. Well, preacher, I got a doctorate. I got a king. Amen. Now, I'm not against education. I got a little bit of it. I got secular education, but better than that, I got a spiritual education. Amen. Jesus looked at him and said, thou art Peter. And friend, this morning we need to realize, just as that servant realized, this thing's bigger than what we are. Amen. We need to realize that we can't do it alone. We need to realize we need a little help. We need to realize that we got to get up out of the ditch. Jesus looked at Peter and said, thou art Peter. And then he says, upon this rock. Can you look at him? Jesus standing there today. Thou art Peter. But upon this rock. See, this morning we need to realize who we are. But praise God, I need to realize who he is. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. Hey, friend, this morning, I'm thankful this morning. But there's something about going to study. I ain't got time. We got to go get some people in the water and baptize them here in a minute. But I'm telling you, you ought to study out that thought about that rock. Amen. Many times through Scripture, we find the Lord Jesus Christ, that rock. Hey, he was that rock that followed the nation of Israel. Amen. He's that rock. The Bible says he picked me up out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a what? A rock. Why? Because that rock will not fail me. That rock will not fall. That rock will not crumble. Amen. Do you ever realize every one of y'all got faith? What do you mean, preacher? Now, I'm a big guy. I've been in some places before. I ain't sure that thing will hold me. Now, I'm pretty sure that one will, but I've been in some places. I've sat on some things. I didn't set all my weight down. I was a little skeptical if this thing was really... Brother David, I know you in the carpentry work, you put them planks down, walk boards. Anybody ever walked on a walk board? I don't know how y'all are, but most walk boards I ever walked on, I think, dear Lord, this thing's going to break. But you know, that's how a lot of times we as Christians, and I hate to use the word Christian, let me back up. A lot of times that's how we are as saved people. A lot of times we're a little skeptical to step out by faith. We're a little worried that this thing might hold or not hold. We're a little worried to let go with both hands and give it to the Lord. But God told Peter that day, he says, Peter, you're Peter, but I'm the rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church. And friend, this morning, I want to tell you this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. The Lord Jesus Christ set my feet upon a rock. And friend, this morning, I just want to encourage you this morning to get up on the rock a little bit. It'll hold you. It'll keep you from falling. It will not let you die. It'll keep you when the storms are raging. That rock will not be moved. And that's exactly what we saw there in 2 Kings. That's exactly what we see here in Matthew with the Lord talking to Peter. He says, listen, there's some things, no matter what's going on around about us, no matter how bad things might get, how bad the storm might be in your world, let me tell you, I'm the rock and I'll not fail. Now listen, I'm not the rock. This preacher, I'll fail. Preachers all the time, they fail. But friend, let me tell you, don't put your feet on the preacher. Don't put your feet on an organization. Put your feet upon a rock. Stand upon the rock. Let go of this world and hold yourself on the rock. Why? Because that rock will stand. Now let's look at the verses for a moment again. I gotta go. Look at it again. He says, Jesus answered unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Peter, or Jonah, for the flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 18, and I say to thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now notice it's the third part. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter. Weak Peter. Flesh Peter. Even the devil said, I'm going to sift you. Peter is just like you. Peter is just like me. And the Lord says, wait a minute, Peter. I'm getting ready to do something upon this rock. I'm going to build something. And praise God, I'm part of that. If you're saved, you're part of that. But then he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You need to realize this morning, God didn't say you ain't going to have problems. God says the gates of hell are going to try to prevail against you. The gates of hell are going to push upon you. The gates of hell are going to try to knock you down. But praise God, he said upon that rock, it will not fall. That's what God wanted me to encourage. Now listen to me, and I've got to quit. God laid some things on my heart this week, and he stirred my soul, and I thank God for it because it's just been a fresh breath of air. Because many times, even as a pastor, we get discouraged. Many times, even when we're trying to live for God and serve God, it's so easy to get discouraged. It's so easy to get your eyes on the storm. It's so easy to get your eyes on the circumstance. And you look at the world and I hear all these crazy things with all this happening and all this movement of liberal to liberal ways and thinkings and doings and all this garbage. I talked to a man this week in a financial mess. His wife, and this is so unnatural. This is weird. If you've done this, don't tell me. These people are struggling financially. She goes and gets a credit card and maxes it out $3,500 on two dogs. Thinking, why in the world would you do that? Who was it, preacher? Nobody in this room. But that's just, the craziness of our day. But friend, let me draw us back to that place of, I'm glad this morning. There's a few things this morning. Listen, I've known a lot of preachers. They're not what they used to be. They used to preach hard and strong and stood on this book. They used to preach as straight as they could preach. And today they're as liberal as they can go. Preachers change. Churches change. I know a lot of churches that used to be fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist churches. And today they're just as liberal can be. Preachers change. Churches change. People change. But I'm so thankful this morning that rock, I can stand on it, and she's the same today as she's ever been. And I can't preach this. It'll take me another hour. First of all, this morning, now listen to me. Peter was told, he says, Peter, you're Peter. Friend, this morning, you're you. You know you. Somewhat you know you. I don't like me a lot of times. Do you like you a lot of times? I don't like me a lot of times. Jesus says, you're Peter. Peter, I'm the rock. And I'm going to do something, Peter. I'm going to build something upon me. And thank God he's the head and I'm part of the body. Yeah. He says, the gates of hell are going to come against you, Peter. He even told Peter the devil wanted to sift him as wheat. Friend, this morning, you better get in your soul this morning. The devil wants to tear you down. But listen to me. Jesus says they cannot prevail against me. There's some things this morning. Now listen to me. This preacher might change. If he does, tell him. Let me know. This church might start changing. If it does, let's stop it. This world is constantly changing. You can't keep up with it, man. It's something every day new. The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. It doesn't take God by surprise. Listen to me. I'm glad this morning, I'd love to just preach this a little bit. We might preach it tonight, I don't know. Right here is one thing I can tell you that will never change. You see this book this morning? Now listen, I can take you down to the bookstore and it's full of things that says it's a Bible. But God says there's one book. There's one word. It's tried. It's pure. The Word of God. Preacher, you believe that's the Word of God? With all my heart. I don't believe it. I know it. Well, how do you know it? Because God showed me it was His. This book will never change. The world might change it. The world might try to write a different one. The world might say you're crazy for following that. But friend, let me tell you this morning, God told Peter, Peter, there's a rock. I'm going to put something on that rock and it will stand. Here's part of the rock, friend. This book. Second of all, this morning, praise God for the blood. That blood will never change. That blood is as powerful today as it's ever been. That blood this morning will cleanse you from your sin. That blood will make you whole. That blood will put you into the family of God. The book don't change, and praise God, the blood don't change. And let me tell you this. The body don't change either. The church of the living God. Now the buildings, the peoples, but I promise you this morning, God has a church. Amen. And one of these days, He's coming back for the church. You can put marker down. Hallelujah. Things don't change. God says, I'm the same today. I was the same yesterday. I'll be the same tomorrow. Right. That's what He was telling. That's what He showed. He said, Elisha said, Lord, open their eyes that they can see, that He can see. And that young man's eyes were open, and all he could see was the power of God. This morning, would you ask God to open your eyes so you can see the power of this book? Would you ask God to open your eyes so you can see the power of the blood? Again, that servant was troubled. But thank God there was a man there that knew who God was. And thank God God stepped on the scene and God did what He did. This book will not change. The blood will not change. The body won't change. The last of all this morning, the blessed hope will never change. I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, the Lord is coming. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you unto me. Friend, this morning, that's never going to change. No matter what Washington says, no matter what Russia says, no matter what North Carolina says, I'm telling you this morning, they're not going to change this book. God says He's preserved this book. Every word, every jot, every tittle is right. The blood, they'll never water her down. They'll never take her away. The body of Christ is as strong today, friend. Let me tell you why. Because the head of Christ is the head of this body. Amen. And then that blessed hope. What a promise. Are you ready for Him coming? Are you ready to see Him? I am. What's going to get me through today? Those things. Why? Because God says, I'll not change. You can rest assured this morning if you're on the rock. It's solid. It's sure. It'll hold every bit of it. Are you on the rock this morning? Maybe this morning you're like that servant and God needs to open your eyes up that you can see what a God we serve. Maybe this morning you're that encourager that somebody's needing to slide up beside of them and say, listen, friend, I know you've got a problem. I know you have a problem. I know there's a trouble. I know it seems like you're down for the count. But let me tell you about God. Let me tell you what He done for me. Let me tell you what He'll do for you. Again, this world's crazy. But I'm glad I can stake in this book. I can look at Jesus and He has never changed. Man of God asked God to open his eyes and he was able to see. What do you see this morning? What do you see? I hope you see how powerful, how mighty, how wonderful our God really is. But preacher, look at all the trouble. But friend, look at how big your God is. Look how beautiful He is. Look at how wonderful He is. Look at His grace. Look at His mercy. Who are you looking at today? Lord, open his eyes. And he saw. This morning I'm praying God would open our eyes. That we quit looking at all the things around about us. And I know they keep constantly beating against our doors. But as Jesus told Peter, they'll not prevail. Let them beat. Let them come. God says, I'm bigger. I'm stronger. You can trust me. Let go. Put your weight down. I got you. And when my eyes were open, I could see, wow, look at God. Wow, look what he's doing. What do you see this morning? Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.